The meeting of the House Hess Committee is called to order. This is January 19th, 1993, and it is 3:04 p.m. I'm Representative Con Bundy. I'll be presiding today. And Dan, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Bundy?
Here.
Representative Dewey?
Here.
Representative Gary Davis?
Here.
Representative Tom Bryce?
Speaking.
Representative Con?
Here.
Representative Nicolaya? Representative Olberg?
Here.
Representative Beasley?
Here. Quorum is present. Calendar for today's meeting is an overview from the Department of Administration. We'll hear first from Commissioner Covey, and then Executive Director of Post-Secondary Education Commission, Alan Barnes. Each of these gentlemen will present an overview, and then we'll be open to questions from the committee. And for our record, Commissioner Covey, name, rank, and serial number.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Covey. I'm Commissioner of Education, and thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you today an overview of the Department of Education. My intent to keep my comments fairly brief today, given that we do want to hear from the Post-Secondary Commission, and also I have a lot to cover with you at a later time in much greater detail. Basically, the Department of Education is, at least in terms of the state budget, the largest, takes the largest amount of the state's operating budget. The department has approximately 450 employees, and we're spread pretty well around the state. Many people think of the Department of Education basically just as education itself, which relates to school districts programs, teacher certification, curriculum, and our centralized correspondence school. In fact, the department is larger than that. In addition to those services, we also handle the state libraries, museums, and archives, primarily which are located in the state library is here, and we have state library in Anchorage as well. Our museums are in Juneau and Sitka. And we also include and take in under the department vocational rehabilitation, which is spread throughout the state. So we have, that's our largest program that's not based here in Juneau centrally. We have more people in both rehab in other parts of the state than we do here. So,
excuse me, Commissioner Covey. We have some other seats here. And would the record show that the Representative Nicolai joined us at 3:05? Please come on in, and if we need more chairs, we'll find them. Thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay. In addition to vocational rehabilitation, I mentioned briefly, we do have centralized correspondence study, which is a centralized correspondence program offered by the Department of Education, which serves the entire state of Alaska. And we, as you may be aware, there, in addition, many school districts have their own centralized correspondence program. And we do have a system at the department as well. Ours is perhaps the oldest. It's a strong part of our department and has been for many years. In addition to that, we operate Mount Edson High School under the Department of Education, which is a residential boarding school located in Sitka, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. It historically was operated by the federal government. It was a BIA school. It changed hands in the mid-80s. I believe it closed in the early 80s and reopened somewhere around 85 as a state school, and has been under the direction of the Department of Education since that time. That school serves about 300 students approximately from all over the state of Alaska. And I'm sure at some later time, or I'd respond to any questions you have about Mount Edson, or give you more detail later. And another component that falls under the Department of Education It's the Alaska Vocational Technical School, which is commonly referred to as AVTEC, and that's located in Seward. That's a post-secondary program, primarily vocational in nature, serves students statewide, has been in existence for some 25 years now, and is a highly regarded program throughout the state. Has some pretty impressive credentials as a program. So generally, those are the divisions that we directly control. We do have within the department some other divisions of administrative services and so on, which are reflected on an organizational chart which we have provided you earlier. So that's generally the overview of the department. We're governed by a board, which is an appointed board by the governor. It's a Section 26 board, which is somewhat unique in its relationship with the governor and with me. I initially was interviewed and recommended to the governor by the state board. He made my final appointment. The board, because they're a Section 26 board, they have authority to make recommendations independently, as it may be at times, of the administration. They have the statutory authority to do that because of the importance of public education to our state. And so you may find that it has happened in the past, but it doesn't happen often, but they have the authority to act independently and take a position other than that which the rest of the administration or the governor or his office may take on issues. So that's one of the unique things also about this board. I guess in terms of how we're structured and organized, that's pretty much it. The Department of Education, I guess, has been involved significantly in the last year with citizens all over the state in trying to develop a statewide education package, which is based upon local input. It was termed an initiative, and in fact, that's what it has become. It represents the ideas of our citizens from all over the state. The state board, in their efforts to develop this, structured it in such a way that I, acting on their behalf, would facilitate the process, but would not dictate the input or control it. Their belief was that what education needed, what public education needed at the K-12 level, was a significant amount of input from the owners of the system, from the people who owned it, and that we should take action to make changes in the system based upon input received from the public. And certainly the owners include the people who make up the system as well. We've spent an extensive amount of time and energy around the state with people, and I think it's been very rewarding in terms of developing a package, which we will be bringing to you very shortly, a package comprised of three different bills, one to address a number of changes in the program end of public education, another which will address primarily some changes in the funding mechanism, what we refer to as the foundation program, and the third, as I'm sure you're aware, will address some proposed changes in capital projects for schools. We believed at the beginning, and believe even more so now, that in order to bring about significant changes, we must tackle the entire spectrum of the educational program at one time, because of its nature is so interwoven that it's almost impossible to reach out and make adjustments in one part without affecting other parts significantly. And when we do that, we find that we meet with significant resistance, and it slows the whole process. One of the interesting things that this package represents is the beginning of movement for the whole system. And once we begin to move this whole system, we're going to find that, I believe we're going to find unprecedented opportunities to make some really meaningful changes that reflect the ideas of many and I think they're healthy, sound ideas. So we look forward to bringing that to you and spending considerable amount of time. The process is open. It's always been open. As we anticipated and expected that as you deliberate on this plan, you will be recommending further changes yet. And it wasn't designed to come to you as a finished product. We explained to the previous legislature that in all three of these areas, we would go out and bring you something that was as close as we could possibly get it, with the understanding that you would be in a position to make final changes. And so we look forward to doing that. We're excited about it, and we believe that we have some significant momentum and support from the public, and that it will hopefully equate to an advantage to you as a committee as you deliberate on these changes to know what the public is thinking about them, whether they're for them or not. And so I guess that's generally the overview that I would share with you. At this point, if you'd like me to turn it over or answer questions.
So let's, as long as you have the hot seat, let's continue.
Okay.
I appreciate you being here and sharing your ideas with us. I'm particularly pleased your comments about the process of being an open and ongoing one. You're in an unenviable position of probably the head of a department that has influenced the greatest number of people in our state. And it certainly ought to continue and for the better, we all hope. I think both from our side of the table, we get a lot of constituent concern about education, obviously, we do as well. I've often said in an only semi-joking manner, there are more experts on education in Alaska than any place I've ever been. And perhaps that's wise, because we have this process that's open for input. I have some questions myself regarding the Education 2000, but with the bills coming up, I think I'd probably be better served to wait until I see the specific bills, and then
okay.
I can ask more precise questions. And with that, I'd like to open it up to the committee for questions. Representative Nikolai.
I was just wondering if you'd come back, or when you will be able to come back to talk about the Alaska 2000. I'm very interested in what you have to say about that.
I believe that we're anticipating that we'll have those bills prepared by the end of this week. So whenever the committee would like me back after that, I'd be happy to.
We can get to that. Commissioner, probably can get to our secretary.
Yeah, certainly we will look forward to scheduling a meeting at
okay.
mutual convenience. And other questions?
Yeah, one more question.
Yes.
Also, do you have, or could you get us the information on Alaska 2000 before you do come back?
Oh, yes, I certainly will. As soon as the bills are prepared and transmitted by the governor, I'll see that you get them and provide you with some additional explanation, which we have developed about the legislation. There will also be a number of changes that we're proposing, I must add, through education regulation. And certainly we want to have you be well aware and apprised of those and would seek your input into those regulatory changes as well. So we will certainly inform you of that. Part of, I guess, in closing, if I may, Mr. Chairman, what we believe will really create a significant change that we encounter here is the power of the public as the final authority for our state's education system. When they realize that this is a true opportunity for them to speak and be heard and to create change, and we facilitate that, and also bring that together with the talent of our educational establishment or our system, I think we have unprecedented talent also in our educational system. We can deliver world-class education to the vast majority of our students. What we need is a way to combine those two powerful resources in the most productive way. And really, the process in which we've tried to bring about these results has come up short in every instance. And I think that in my knowledge, or to my knowledge, no one, at least in recent times, has gone back to the true source of power being the public and matched that up with the talent available to produce what we're capable of. And the more I work at this, and the more people I talk to, and the more schools I visit, and the more I hear the critics and the people who are for or against our education system, the more I've become convinced this is certainly within our grasp, and that once we start doing it, it's going to move quickly. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your time, and we look forward to meeting with you again.
Our thanks as well, and may I say that again that we're certainly looking forward to working with you, and I couldn't agree more that the public is a great untapped resource, and I think together we can produce an educational system that will certainly educate people who are interested and willing to learn and give them the tools that will help us all in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, and Chairman. Before you begin, if we could have your name and your position.
I'm Alan Barnes. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education.
Thank you.
The actual commission is composed of 14 members, two from Europe, from the legislature, one from the House, and one from the Senate. Retiring members are Senator Paul Fisher and Representative Neil Cochran. There are a number of public members that serve on the commission, two people from the Board of Regents, several people from proprietary schools. There are three major functions of the commission. Consumer protection is one in which we monitor newspapers and other advertisements around the state to determine that the schools that are being offered in Alaska are legitimate. There are a lot of sham operators that set up and take advantage of our students, make false claims. It's our job to apprise the Attorney General's office as well as the police in the event that there are erroneous activities going on in that arena. We also do institutional authorization, and we work with approximately 130 institutions in the state. A great number of those are proprietary schools, community schools, travel academies, computer schools, business occupation schools. And our third area, and probably the largest work effort we have, is in student financial aid. We do manage the Alaska Student Loan Program, which includes regular loans, full-time study, and loans, and education loans. We also have a relationship with USA Funds to contract the federal effort. There are approximately 2,000 students who participate in federal loan activity. We manage a grant activity for low-income students that is partially funded from the federal government and partially from general funds of the state. We also manage the WICHE, Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education Professional Exchange Program, and we're the fiscal conduit for WAMI, which is Washington, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho medical program with the University of Washington. I know Representative Nicolai has been to several of those meetings. The Loan Corporation came into existence in 1987. There are five members on the corporation: the Commissioner of Administration, the Commissioner of Revenue, and the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development. And two members from our commission serve on that corporation. Its major function is to provide bonding. For example, last year the corporation board authorized our agency to go forward and solicit $47 million in bonds, monies that we could use to lend students. And it is those monies and loans in repayment is how the Alaska Student Loan is funded. This will be the first year that no general funds are in those loan dollars. You mentioned of the 89 staff, probably 70 of them are involved in some aspect of the loan program, whether it's in the awards section, which approximately 10 people work in that arena. The other 60 work in the business of collecting the $530 million of accounts in repayment. There are 160,000 active loans. Our default rate is on an annualized basis is around 7%. On a cumulative basis, it's around 12%. The national federal loan average is around 20%. Part of our phenomenon is because we lend to a great number of middle-class students and parents who tend to pay back, whereas in the federal loans that tend to be lower economic level, I can only assume that some of that is going to our students who do not plan to pay back. Issues facing the commission is to improve our communication with borrowers, We do a great many good things, notify people, say it's 7,000 or whack, you're falling behind. Well, they decide to call us up, getting gridlock on our phone system. We guarantee permanent fund dividends in the fall if students have fallen way behind in their payment. In most cases, it is a legitimate take or attachment of that fund, but sometimes it isn't. In any case, thousands of those people like to call us up. We're trying to make the loan program much more state-of-the-art through imaging. We're soliciting some funding through capital requests. We hope to improve upon our phone system with an automatic dialing system and the off hours that we'll call when someone finally, a real person answers. We don't waste so much time on callbacks. My guess is that some of you as legislators will get calls about the loan program. Call our office. We'll do the very best we can to address your constituent concerns. We have 10 temporaries that are currently ready to take their jobs. They've spent the last 3 years training them who will be dealing with the communication area. And that's my presentation. I'll take questions if you'd like.
All right, thank you, Mr. Barnes. As one who's dealt on a day-to-day basis for 23 years of people who were student loan recipients, I just want to reassure you you're providing a very valuable service. I think this whole program has such a positive impact for Alaska, but it's just incalculable. The good things that are coming from the people who are able to get a higher education. One of the things that you mentioned that I'm pleased to hear is a personal concern of mine is that the loan program has produced a crop of parasites, the sham operators that you mentioned, and I hope you will diligently continue to ferret those out. Unfortunately, they seem more interested in and simply receiving the students' transfer of their loan rather than ever finding any true gainful employment for them. And you're well aware of the program. I just encourage you to work in that that sector. If I might, committee, indulge me, just a question I have that comes to me from students occasionally. They're looking toward a public service activity of some kind that would serve as partial loan repayment. Has the commission considered this?
We have not, largely because of the funding mechanisms would require us to get 100% return on the money to pay back bondholders. With the general funds, there might have been a different attitude. But at this point, it's sort of like the forgiveness benefit. The bond market doesn't view getting half of it back as a necessarily the best way to get all their money back.
So the only way we could approach that was the funding out of the
special
general fund.
Yeah.
And again, I'm really pleased that our default rate is as slow as it is, or as low as it is. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do to keep this low and to hopefully further reduce it?
The corporation, or actually the loan fund, is run much like a business. We have skip tracers. We have people who pursue people who have fallen into a default status. We do a lot of phone conversation, let them know that if you don't get back into repayment, you end up in a collection agency. And there are three private sector collection agencies, one in Fairbanks, one in Anchorage, and one in Juneau. And we have quite a number of loans in collection where they'll guarantee wages, they'll go after bank accounts. We rarely write it off unless it's medical or bankruptcy. So it has to be a fairly dramatic reason why we wouldn't continue to collect on your bonds. Now, that wasn't necessarily true in the early 80s. It kind of got out of hand there a little bit, and that's when they got into the private collection agencies. And they work there. They get one agency gets a fee for doing this as well as an extra fee if they actually collect on the funds, so it's in their best interest. The other two agencies, they are paid on a collection only. So the more they collect, the more it's set at a percentage. But they do a very good job. And I don't think anybody really wants to fall into that status if they don't have to.
Again, I just encourage you in your pursuit there. Certainly have my full support, and I suspect the committee's. And now we have some other questions. Representative Bryce?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Barnes, quick question. What's the rate of demand for the student loans now? I mean, how's it growing?
About 2% a year. It went. Its high water mark was 17,000 loans, I think, in 1986, which was the last year that the 5% forgiveness kind of loan was available.
Yeah.
And then it took a fairly dramatic drop for several years. It averages about 13,500 loans.
Okay. Can I follow up? What's the rate of income that you're generating from the payback, that kind of thing?
Well, in that sense, we probably collect around $4 million a month, and a great deal of that's committed.
Oh, yes.
Most of it's committed to the bondholders, and that which we are, if we generated $47 million and we're going to lend $55 million, $8 million in this year will go toward loans for this year. The balance of that goes toward bond redemption.
Yes, Representative Tui.
A question. This came up several months ago in Anchorage. There's a program going on in Anchorage that is a part-time. It was a six to eight-week program. In order to qualify for a student loan, the program itself had to be elongated to 12 weeks. Unfortunately, there wasn't 4 weeks of extra teaching involved. I felt it was a waste of time and a waste of energy. Is that a set policy?
So by regulation, you have to meet a certain minimum hour requirement. Otherwise, you can offer that program throughout the state, but you can't get a student loan to attend that kind of program unless it has, I think, 30 hours a week. And I'm looking at Mary Mann, who's my assistant director, who handles the institutional authorization. I think it's 8 to 10 weeks that they have to.
It is based on what a program would be for college credit, or if it's a vocational program, there's a certain number of clock hours. And as Alan said, you can still opt the program, but because of the statute which regulates student loans, you can't get a student loan for it. So
this was a home nursing program that graduated in 8 weeks, and in order to qualify, they had to elongate it to 12 weeks, which was, there was some, there was a problem with it, but we worked through it, I'm sure. Thanks.
Representative Davis.
I can attest to the value of the student loan program. I think it was my first involvement in any government process when I signed a petition when I was in college to promote the loan program. I'm that young. I was around in college.
It's only been around 4 years.
and also I have three children that take advantage of it. But other states, I think, take advantage of it and take advantage of our loan program as they take advantage, I feel, of our dividend program and our longevity bonus. I think that we need, to some degree, and maybe it's been proposed, a reciprocity agreement between other states. If they let our students come there on their state tuition level or residency, then we'll allow our students a loan to enroll in their state. Has that been approached before? Because I feel they're using that as a leverage to for additional grants and scholarships.
I don't think we've really addressed any out-of-state colleges or the out-of-state institutions in that respect. That's an interesting idea. Those schools that have more students trying to apply and get in will not pay much attention to this because, well, it's wonderful for us maybe to send a child to, say, University of Washington, University of Oregon, they're not about ready to do away with in-state tuition. They're already getting a lot of pressure from their residents to give Oregonians or Washingtonians first preference anyway. That's one of the limitations of thinking that some colleges might. If they're looking for students, they might enjoy that. But I'm going to guess that most of the ones that the students pick from Alaska, there is a demand on those colleges. We could investigate this, and I'll get back to you. My guess is they wouldn't look upon that too favorably. We do in WICHE, however, which is a medical program. Those students can't let a great number in because there's only a certain number of slots. They do get a tuition benefit, I think it's 50% over in-state tuition, which is still pretty good because sometimes it can be eight times more than that would be if you were, say, an Arizona resident or an Idaho resident.
Oh, yes, Representative Nicolai.
And Chairman, Mr. Barnes, I'm really happy, I'm truly happy that we have a student loan program because it has helped a lot of my students get through college. I spent the past 8.5 years as a programs administrator for higher education. And during those 8.5 years, I worked with a lot of students and had to call the post-secondary education office and to talk to a counselor. And I'm really happy to hear that you are going to improve on communicating with those people, such as myself, who was in that position. I spent, 20 to 40 minutes on the phone on hold just waiting to talk to a counselor, in line behind somebody else. Or I'd wait, 2 days before I'd get an answer if I left a message on the recorder. So I'm very encouraged, and I encourage you too to improve that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just follow up. One thing that I've been on this job a year, but just prior to that, they moved from a coupon payment method, which, like your house payment, you pick that off, write a check, send it in, to a billing statement similar to your master charge at Visa, which they did, the reason they did that is many young people move 3 and 4 times a month, and it's increasingly difficult to find them with this coupon method. They throw them away and take off. It might be 5, 6 months before we ever get a hold of them, even if you could then. This way, the post office, if you left, they'll send it back with a yellow slip for, and they'll give us the address. They've just been an enormous improvement in our borrower contact, which was one of the major intents of going to a billing statement. Unfortunately, now that we're contacting them so often and sending them a billing statement 12 times a year, they want to talk to us. You know, they used to only want to talk to us, say, once in 10 years, have I finally paid off my loan? Now every month we're in their face, and we never were like that. They never did pay attention to their account. We get kids calling us up and say, what's this interest? I didn't agree to pay interest. I don't even know what that means. Explain it to me. Or what's grace year interest? Or what is this declining balance? A lot of technical banking terms that they're a lot better educated.
You can define them now, too, if you want to.
I would appreciate it.
I'm a good buzzword. I didn't know anything about this a year ago. So it's a real education.
Do we have further questions for Mr. Barnes? If not, with the committee's appreciation, thank you. And that is concludes our testimony for today. For those of you that would like backup information on tomorrow's Hess overview, it's available in the back. And with my thanks to my fellow committee members, this meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.